Amen. I am wearing this, but I'm in mourning. Praise the Lord. The name of the Lord is no joke. Thank you, Sister Mary, for reading those powerful words from the scripture and reminding us of who He is. And thank you, Sister Grace, for singing those powerful words to remind us of who we are. So God is good. It is a blessing to be here with you all on this wonderful, lovely, amazing September morning. And it is so good to see some of you whom I have not seen in person in forever. Boy, oh boy, what a blessing. And aren't you just fresh back from Ghana?
I've been back for a while, but
this is the first time here. Oh, good. Okay. But that's all right. That's all right. It's good to see you. It is good to see you. I missed all of you last week. I'm going to say that again a little bit later on, but I missed you. And the Lord answered my cry. He didn't have to do it, but just a little gift. So your being here this morning is a special little olive on my non-alcoholic drink. Last week, in my excitement about talking about Sister Mary Hatch, who was here last week, in my excitement about talking about her, I said, and I found out she's a woman of God and I'm a woman of God. I was upset with the congregation for not helping me out with that. But they said, we tried, we tried. Next time, stand up and go like this. Ordinarily, I would let that go, and I would assume that those of you who heard that knew what I meant. And most of you did. And I got a lovely text message from Grace saying, we understood what you meant. But in these days of declaring your gender, I want to be, and I don't know all of who are listening and looking, I want to be unequivocal and explicit that I am a man of God. I am a man of God. And beyond the gender designation, beyond that, underneath the various roles that I play, I am a man of God. Underneath the role of being a pastor, I am a man of God. Pastoring goes away, I'm still a man of God. Beneath the role of a husband, if my marriage goes away, I am a man of God. I'd be a suffering man of God, but I would be still a man of God. And I'm a man of God because of what God has done inside of me. I am not a man of God because I made myself a man of God. I am a man of God because of what God has done inside of me. I am a living, breathing, walking, talking, smiling specimen of the faithfulness of God, despite our weaknesses, despite our resistance, despite our fears, and despite our doubts. Today's message is titled, "The Lord's Faithfulness is on Display." Right here, right now, and forever. The Lord's faithfulness is on display right here, right now, and forever. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord to bless our reading of His word. Lord, we ask that You would just give us by Your Spirit the assurance that the words spoken and read to us by Sister Mary are true of you. Give us, Lord, by the assistance of your Holy Spirit, the assurance and reassurance that the words sung by Sister Grace about who we are would be true in our spirits. Give us grace as we read your word now and as we look at its application for our lives. Give us grace to hear your voice to each heart. Lord, you have something to say to each heart, and it's not the same thing because we're not in the same place. And so we ask you by the power of your Spirit to speak and to minister to each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Our glorious text today is from Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. We're going to hop back in the Old Testament for just a bit. Of course, connect it to the New Covenant, which is what we live under every day. We don't live under the Old Covenant. There is only one covenant now in effect, and it is the New Covenant in Jesus' blood. But there are lessons to be learned from the old and applications that are ours to be had from looking at the old. So we're looking at Numbers chapter 9, and I'm reading verse 15, and I'm going to read through the end, verse 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. The tabernacle was the precursor of the temple. It was the portable dwelling place of the Lord, as the Israelites traveled through the wilderness and traveled to the promised land. And only Moses could enter it. The cloud was the glory and the presence of the living God. It wasn't just like the clouds we see in the sky. It was the glory and presence of God himself. Now, this passage is an excellent description. Well, let me back up. Because it is the presence, and because it is the Spirit of the living God, as it is depicted here, the cloud is now in each of our hearts. The cloud is not out there anymore. The presence and the glory of the living God is now in us. The cloud is resting above each of our hearts. The glory of the Lord is filling our spirits. And he is saying, camp here for now to each one of us. And then he's saying, let's move to each one of us. And his let's camp and let's move is specifically calibrated to his purposes for each one of us. So if he says, stay there for a while, we stay there. And if he says, let's move, we move. And trust me, no matter what you do, if you have to stay there, you're going to stay there. We may move around a little bit, but the place that the Lord has chosen for us to camp next will reveal itself when it is time for us to move there. So each one of us is in this place. The scripture says we are led by the Spirit, and we are exhorted to follow the Spirit, to follow the Spirit's lead. The pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that is within our beings is placed there. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He is inside of us actively at work. Camp, let's go. Stay here for a while. Okay, time to move. Inside of each one of us. This passage is an excellent description of where your elders are right now at present with respect to our perspective on our church at this time. This is an excellent description of, and I didn't find this out until yesterday, that all of us were in this place. We're feeling God's movement among us. And yesterday, for the very first time, I discovered that each one of us, independent of any discussion about it, we didn't talk about it, neither one-on-one, it's just that we all had the collective sense that God is doing something. And it's not ours to control. We know how to do stuff. We're not incompetent. We know how to organize stuff. We know how to get stuff going. We know how to stir stuff up. We know how to do that. But we all have the collective sense that the Lord is saying, camp here. Camp here. And when it's time to move, you will know it. Just as in your spirits right now, you know it's time to camp. And no matter whether you're a type A or type B, C or D, no matter what the configuration of the Board of Elders is, all of you collectively sense this is not ours to control. Camp here. It's ours to trust. It's ours to respond. When the cloud moves, we will move. So camp here, Valley Brook. Camp here, not in restlessness. Camp here, not in fear. Camp here, not in anxiety. Camp here in peace. Camp here in peace. Camp here with faith in me. Camp here even with joy. Camp here with praise. Why? Because God's faithfulness is on display right here and right now. You know, the Israelites didn't always get it wrong. I mean, they like us, were knuckleheads at times. And they had hard hearts at times, just like us. But they didn't always get it wrong. It says here that when the Lord told them to stay for a day or so, they did it. There's no indication that they grumbled about it or complained about it. Seems like they were going along with the program. So congratulations, Israelites, on that. You know, we always call them out for the things that they did that were idiotic and unbelieving. But it doesn't say that they resisted this, at least in this particular section. And I can imagine how it would be. And as a leader, I can imagine how it would be. I can imagine that Moses might have been, it could have been that some could have come to Moses and said, hey, Moses, look, when are we leaving? Well, when the Lord says so. Well, you know, the Lord gave you a brain, man, use it. There's always that person. The person that thinks we need to do something. Make it happen. Your leaders, make it happen. But there doesn't seem to be that kind of headache. Doesn't say that Moses had that kind of headache. So it seems like the Israelites were going along with, and I can imagine, can you imagine? Some days it would be a day. Some days it would be from morning to evening. Some days it would be a couple of days, and then other times it would be a week or sometimes a month or a year, and the randomness of that. But all the while, here's the thing, God's faithfulness is always on display. Because even though they seem to be sitting there waiting and nothing seemed to be happening, and when is this train going to keep going? You know what? We've been at this stop long enough. Even though those might have been their feelings, the reality is that God wasn't twiddling his thumbs while they were waiting. God was not sitting back like this saying, okay, now it's time. God was actively at work in their lives, in Moses' life, in the land that they were going to be moving to. He was coordinating things precisely. Nothing is ever nothing with God. My Father is always at work, Jesus said, and I'm working. So all the while that they were camped, God was busy executing his faithfulness, perhaps in ways that they saw at times, and other times it was invisible. But God's faithfulness was on display then, it's on display now, and it will be on display forever. You know, I missed my church family last week, as I said. I was sitting out there on the bench after the service and just feeling the longing to see some of you whom I have not seen in quite a while. And I particularly felt the loss last week. You know, it was rainy and it was like, you know, the rain did not help the mood. And I was just sitting there, and Sister Grace blessed me. You know, I missed where we were as a church family, and I missed the place that we had camped before this pandemic. And I wanted to go back to that spot. Lord, what was wrong with that spot? That was a perfectly good spot. And now you've moved us out, and here we are in this spot. And I wanted to go back to that place. But the Lord was faithful. And he prompted Grace to send me a text. And then Deidre Abbott sent me a text. And both of those texts together were the Lord's grace and balm for my spirit. And through them, the Lord helped me to remember that his faithfulness is on display here in our church, here in our midst, here in each one of our lives individually. It is on display right now and right here. And his faithfulness to me in that state of longing, in that place, inspired last Monday morning boost. That's where that came from. That's why I wrote it. It's sort of like David writing a psalm after he'd gone through something. Well, this was sort of my psalm after I'd gone through something. And it was a spiritual thing. And I wrote on the Monday morning boost, you know, you're not always going to get it. I'm writing to myself. See, everything I write is pretty much for me, and I just share it with you all. So, Dan, you're not always going to get it. Doesn't matter how much you know, and it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, and it doesn't matter how close you are to the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're not always going to get it. You're not always going to get it. You're not always going to get it. You aren't always going to see it. There are going to be blind spots. And what you know, you're not always going to see. And what you thought you remembered, you will forget. You're not always going to see it. You're not always going to get it. You're not always going to remember it. And you're not always going to be able to hold it together. There will be days when you're going to sit on the bench and feel the weight of what is. And you're going to feel that. And there's no way that you're going to completely dispel that from your life and your experience. Not going to happen. But, Dan, remember this. The Lord will help you figure it out. The Lord will always help you figure it out. He will open your eyes. He will strengthen your grip. When David wrote, "He restoreth my soul." You know where he was writing that from? He is writing that from a place where his soul had been needy of restoration. How can you say the Lord restores my soul unless your soul has been in a place of needing restoration? So David, all the psalms you've written, all the things you've seen God do, you're going to need him to restore your soul. So David writes, "He restoreth my soul." The Holy Spirit was given to remind us. He was given so that because the Lord knew we would forget. And so he gave us the Holy Spirit to remind us. It's not perfection. It's not perfection. Perfection is not the goal. It's not perfection, but trusting in him in our imperfection. That is the goal. He will embrace you through his word. He will embrace you through his people. He will embrace you through all the resources of creation. He will embrace you with laughter. So let us embrace his embrace. Why? Because his faithfulness is on display right here, right now, and forever. Let me ask you a question, because you're listening to me go on and wax eloquently. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's faithfulness is on display right here, right now, in your life? Regardless of what the present conditions may be. Regardless of how things may be feeling at this point to you. Do you believe that God's faithfulness is on display right here, right now, and forever? If not, don't worry about it. Because the scripture says, don't worry about anything. And worrying about whether or not you are believing that God's faithfulness is on display in your life is a thing. Don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in that. Don't worry about anything, including how much you're trusting the Lord's faithfulness. Instead, just trust in him to help you trust in his faithfulness. That is allowed. Brother Jim and I had our weekly chat this past week. We talk on Mondays, and we discovered that we're in a similar place of neediness. At that time, we were in a very similar place of neediness. Different circumstances, but a very similar place of neediness. And I noted as we talked, I said, you know, sometimes we think a mature faith in Christ is like playing poker. It's dependent upon our skill. And it's dependent on how we play our hand, whether we are praying the right kind of prayer, whether we are meditating on the proper verses, whether we are regularly getting fellowship, all of which, don't get me wrong, are critical elements of spiritual growth. But sometimes we think we're like poker players and we got to play the right cards. And if we don't play the right cards, things blow up. So we're trusting in our card playing more than we are trusting in the umbrella of God's faithfulness that goes with us wherever we go. Sometimes even how much time we're spending with the Lord, that becomes one of our cards. Oh man, I didn't play that card today. See, I remember someone saying that the devil is so crafty that if he can't get you to put on the brakes and not do those things, then he'll just step on the accelerator and take you so far past him that you go in the wrong direction that way. Our faith is not in our faithfulness. Our faith is not in our faithfulness. Our faith is in God's faithfulness. But sometimes those things become our faithfulness, and we think that's why God is sustaining me. And if I stop doing that, somehow it's all going to fall apart. No. See, the real deal is this. The real blessing is in trusting in the Master who can make any hand a winner. You play the card out of order, he can make that a winner. You put too many chips in the middle of the table and lost big, he can make that a winner. And I'm not even a poker player. You got a weak hand? In him there's strength. You got a doubtful hand? In him there's hope. You misplayed a hand? In him there is redemption. Why? Because the Lord's faithfulness is on display right here, right now, and always. It says in Psalm 89:5, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." Next week, this congregation of saints is going to be praising his faithfulness. This week, next week, next Sunday, this congregation is going to be spending more time than usual praising his faithfulness. A day to celebrate God's faithfulness to us individually and his faithfulness to us collectively. The scripture admonishes us. It warns us to not trust in our own wisdom. It admonishes us to not trust in our own might. It admonishes us to not trust in our own riches. But the admonishment is also an invitation to peace. Because if I'm not trusting in my own wisdom, and if I'm not trusting in my own might, and if I'm not trusting in my own riches, I don't have to fear the limitations of them. You get that? You see, it's also a promise when the Lord says, don't trust in your own wisdom, don't trust in your own might, and don't trust in your own riches. It's an invitation to peace because you don't need to fear the limitations of any of them. I don't have to worry about not having enough wisdom. I can rely on the one who knows what to do. I don't have to worry about having enough power or enough energy or enough desire or enough of anything that I can generate. Don't trust in your own might. I don't have to worry about the limitations of it. I'm not trusting in it. I can trust in the one whose might is unlimited. I don't have to worry about not having enough money. I don't have to worry about not having enough money. I can trust in the one whose riches, whose resources are unlimited. Whatever we have or whatever we don't have, it's never because the Lord doesn't have enough of that thing. Let me say that again. Whatever we have or whatever we don't have, it's not because the Lord doesn't have enough of that. If we don't have enough wisdom, it's not because the Lord doesn't have enough. If we don't have enough might, it's not because the Lord doesn't have enough. If we don't have enough money, it's not because the Lord doesn't have enough. You know why we don't have as much as we think we need or want? Because God's faithfulness is on display. Right there, right then, and forever. Did you get that? Do you believe that? Or does God's faithfulness only show up when the money comes? That's when God's faithful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now you're faithful. I mean, for a while your faithfulness was on vacation. For a while your faithfulness was oversleeping and the alarm clock didn't wake it up. For a while, your faithfulness was in rehab. But now it has showed up. God's faithfulness reaches to the heavens. It reaches to the skies. It is forever and ever, and there is never a time in our lives when his faithfulness is not on display. When I was sitting on that bench lamenting the fact that we couldn't go back to the old campsite, God's faithfulness was on display in that bench, on that bench. It did not show up when Grace sent the text. That was an aspect of it. And thank God that he cares for us. And he knows we are but dust. And he knows what we need. And he does enough to show us that he knows. But he doesn't always do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. Because he wants us to believe that his faithfulness is always on display. Because that's who he is. Faithfulness is not what I do, Neola. Faithfulness is who I am. It is a part of me. And there is never a time when I'm not being me, says the Lord. Thy will be done. That's not a woe is me statement of resignation. Oh, thy will be done. I really, Lord, I really, really want this thing. You got to come through. Jesus, please. But thy will be done. It's a trust. It is a statement of trust in God's faithfulness. Thy will be done. You know what the deal is, God, better than I know what the deal is. You know what's around the corner, and I can just see this far. My eyes don't do this. All I can see is what's ahead of me. My eyes can't turn no corners. I don't know what my tomorrow will be. So with my limited wisdom, with my limited might, my limited understanding, I'm asking for what I want because you've given me permission to ask for what I want. You've given me permission and you do not reproach me for asking for what I want. But thy will be done because I don't know if what I want is what I want. I think it's what I want, but I don't know that is what I want. And even if it is what I want, I don't know the price tag that's connected to that thing. See, the price tag is hidden from me. You know, it's just hanging on the string. But you're the only one who can turn that around and see what the price tag is. How much is that going to cost you? And what is that going to cost you in terms of the true quality of your life? Because your life is not in that thing. I know it seems like it. I know it feels like it. And I know that you feel like I can't go on and I won't be happy and my life will not be what I want it to be unless I get that thing. I know that. But I also know I can't see the price tag. You see it. So thy will be done. Thy will be done. When Jesus spoke those words on the night of his arrest, he told the disciples, this is how you pray. And then on the night of his arrest, he prayed it. Father, if it's any way possible, let this cup be removed from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. As you will. He was being totally dependent on God's faithfulness. You know, my approach as a pastor, for those of you who may be wondering, what is Pastor Dan's approach? He talks about wanting to help each believer in the church to grow deeper in his or her personal relationship with Christ, where Jesus becomes more and more magnificent, not because he becomes more magnificent, but because we see his magnificence more and more, and with greater clarity and greater depth and greater detail. What is my approach to helping us to grow in our relationship with the Lord? It's not so much to tell you what to do. It's not so much. I'll give a practical idea here and there, but it's not so much about telling you what to do. It's more about reminding you of who he is. That's the approach, to remind you week in and week out of who he is. Because of the Lord's faithfulness to the new covenant that we have in Christ, he has established for us his presence as a pressure-free, performance-free, judgment-free zone. No matter what the deal is, no matter what the issue is, there's never a reason for you to be reluctant to move into his presence with whatever. Because of the new covenant, not because God is soft. Because of the new covenant, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because of our status and standing before God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because his grace is sufficient, and because what he did completely, and it is finished. Because of that, the area in the presence of God is not a smoking mountain with fire. No, no, no. Hebrews says you're not going to that mountain anymore. No, the mountain that you're going to is a mountain where there's joy, angels singing praises and glory. That's the mountain you're going to when you approach the throne of God. You're not going to a throne of judgment and fire and brimstone and all of that because of Jesus. The zone that you enter with him is pressure-free, performance-free, shame-free, judgment-free, and you can hang out as long as you like. You can say, Lord, it's just me and I'm here. It's me and I'm just here, just as I am. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm closing this morning with this. A friend of mine described to another person, having a conversation with another person, and was describing to that person a difficult situation that he was experiencing. So he told this person about how difficult things were, and he added, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And the person responded, I'll bet you are, and I understand that, because it could always be worse. And my friend gently shared with this person that even though that's true, it could always be worse, that my friend's perspective is, that's not why I'm thankful. I'm not thankful because it could be worse. That's true. And praise God that it's not. But I'm not thankful just because it could be worse. I'm thankful because God is blessing me right now. That's why I'm thankful. Because God is blessing me right now in this difficulty, in this place. And I am thankful to him for his faithfulness to me in this place. Whoo! Lord, have mercy. Lord, increase my faith. Help me in my unbelief. Take me there. See, that kind of thankfulness is a product of advanced faith. That is somehow, and it's very difficult to explain because others often misunderstand it. What they think that my friend was saying, and he's not saying, they're thinking that my friend is saying he likes where he is. No, my friend is not saying he liked it. I don't like it. But I'm still thankful because God is being faithful in my not liking it. He wasn't saying that he wouldn't prefer it to be otherwise. Just as Jesus wasn't saying he would prefer it to be otherwise. He was explicit. I would prefer it to be otherwise. If there's another way, if there is. My friend wasn't saying, oh, I love this suffering. And my friend wasn't saying, oh, I just want to sit here for the rest of my days. No. I don't like it and I wish it were otherwise. But if it's not, God's faithfulness is still on display right here, right now, in this place, and forever, because he is faithful. What he was saying is that he has become aware that God is blessing him right in his present place of encampment. Where the Lord has me camped right now is a place of blessing. And the spiritual blessings that God is bestowing upon me in this place, those that I see, those that I don't see, those that I feel and don't feel, those that I'm experiencing today and won't experience until we move to the next place or the place after that, or until I see Jesus. Those spiritual blessings are just as real as the blessings of comfort that I would like to have by this circumstance resolving itself. They're just as valuable and many times more valuable because God is faithful. See, my friend, he was not singularly focused on God getting him out of the difficulty. Sure, Lord, I want deliverance, but I am not singularly focused on deliverance as a sign of your faithfulness. Whether you deliver me or not, whether you stop the fire, whether you put the fire out or not, or supernaturally remove us, God, from this place. We're not bowing down to the idols, said the three Hebrew boys. You see, you can do it. You can, and we know you can. And do we really want to go in a fiery furnace? Nah, we don't think so. Not today. God is able, but even if he doesn't, you know what? He's been faithful to us. If we burn up, he has been faithful to us. If we die in the fire, he has been faithful. And I'm praising him and thanking him for his faithfulness. Holy Spirit, help me. Because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want what I want. I want what I want. I want what I want. God is always giving, always loving, always faithful towards us, not just when the cloud moves, but even as it remains in the same place. There's a blessing in the storm. Is that how the song goes? There's a blessing in the storm. Oh, Jesus. And I'm one of you. I'm just like you. I don't want no storms. Oh, I'm just like you. But the Lord is taking us, brothers and sisters, to another place. A place of wonder and glory beyond our own human reactions and perceptions and even desires, where we want more of Him than we want more of it. We want to know Him. We want to connect with Him more than we want our way. More than we want our way. I still want my way, but I want you more. Help us, Jesus. The offer for a deeper, fuller, and more personal relationship with Him is always extended to us in all situations, because the faithfulness of the Lord is always on display. Now, tomorrow, and forever. And I'm done.